That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay, the price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
that
old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it
will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Who dwell in it. We belong to you, Lord Jesus, and you are our God and our deliverer and our Savior and our hope and our trust. We ask you, Lord, let that Holy Spirit come among us. Let us guide us and direct us in this Radio Ranch Wranglers, and help us, Lord, to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And let that Spirit come into us and lead us in the way of righteousness and holiness and godliness, and direct us in the areas that you want us to talk about today. And then we thank you, Lord, for this day and this opportunity. In that mighty name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, the program, folks, is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We've got our coffee. We've got our Bibles open. Hopefully, you've been reading your Bible. We've been putting out the Bible reading plan. We roll into a new month today, of course, and we read the plan today is for Jeremiah 7 through 11. And one thing that I have noticed in going back and in trying to read through the Bible again is that you see these little nuggets. You see things that will pop out that maybe didn't make sense or didn't apply the last time you read it. And one part here in Jeremiah 7, verse 21, or starting in verse 22, God says, and he's speaking to his people, and I know I've read it before, but it just seems to apply even more today. And he says, "For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, And you will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be well with you. And then it goes on and says, but the people did not do that. That they didn't do it. And over in Jeremiah 11, he repeats it. He says, listen to my voice and do according to all which I command you. So you shall be my people and I will be your God. And when I see things like that, it just reiterates with me and re-strengthens me that there's a little bit more to it than belief. You can believe God is God all you want. And you can believe that Jesus is the Christ all you want. But what does God say? God says to obey. Believe, yes. But there also has to be that obedience. And I think that's one of the things in this in the world today that we have to come against, and we have to educate the people, even the church world, the so-called church world, in that there's more to it than just believe. Now, the belief part is a huge part. It's a great foundation, but it's a launching pad. It's not the end, and the church world seems to present it today as the end. That's Christianity. If you believe that Jesus is God, boom, you're done. You're saved. Everything's fine. And it's it. That's it. And it's just not that way. It's just not that way.
No, it isn't.
I got a very encouraging phone call yesterday, Friday. From Michigan, a man wanting to get baptized, was going to come out to the church. I was going to drive out to Colorado, and I said, well, let me see if we've got somebody in the area first. And we talked, but it was a man that came out of Catholicism, and we had about a half-hour conversation, and it was evident to see that God had called him. His eyes had been opened to the lies of the world and the lies that have come out of that cult, and he's seeing the need to be baptized, and as luck would have it, that is the second baptism request for Central Michigan that we got this week. How about that?
Awesome.
I mean, sometimes you'll get we got one in Alaska we were able to have our brethren take care of lately, and. But, you know, you'll get one.
Try about three.
Yeah, one in California and one in Michigan or something like that. But two in Central Michigan this week. And that was that's encouraging. That's the kind of signs, yeah, I think, that God sends.
Amen.
Yes, it is. And going back to the Bible reading plan, I just want to get on a soapbox a little bit here. I don't want to take up too much time. But you men out there, you read the word to your families. You read it verbally. You're the leaders in your household. Get open that Bible. Call your children together. Call your wife. If you only have one, that's fine. Read the word verbally to your family. It creates a spirit in the house, the Holy Spirit. And you may just start reading the one, and then all of a sudden you have two. Next thing you know, you have three. And they need your wife, your daughters, your sons. They need to hear that word spoken from your mouth and resonate into them. So that's kind of my soapbox right now. I think men, they have taken, the enemy has come against the man, and Pastor always taught it, they come against the strong man. But the strong man has fallen away into sports, immorality, fornication, sin. It's time for men of God again to start taking their families back. And what a blessing it is to see. I'll start off just reading to one daughter. And next thing I know, here comes two, here comes three, and here's my wife. And I'll say, well, I think that's good for today. And I know, they're like, no, Dad, read some more. And how are we going to train up our children on what the Word says unless we read it and then explain it a little bit better to them.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Yeah. We are called to be different.
That's quite a testimony.
It is. We are called to be different. A peculiar people, the Bible says. And when you read the scriptures, that's one of the themes throughout the Old Testament, is God telling his people to not be like everybody else. To not be like the world. And unfortunately, today, many of our people, the majority of our people, have fallen into that trap again of being in the world, of the world, of being the world. And we have to live in the world, but we're still to be different. And that's one of the things that it is. That's one of the things that counters the ungodly programming that the enemy puts out. And it is one of the things that strengthens the bonds of the family, for sure. Great testimony.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, but James Dobson, I guess, is calling again for parents to pull their children out of public schools, basically not saying that it's everywhere, but I was reading something last night about a new Islam cartoon that they're presenting in the public school systems that basically said that Allah is the only God and Muhammad is the only prophet, and it's a 45-minute video of two young boys. One's Islamic and one's they don't tell you what religion he is, but the indoctrination of Islam that's going on in a lot of these public schools is just hard to even fathom. And then the parents who stand up against it, they're actually being targeted by the other parents as bigots and Islamophobes and everything else. But then they say, well, why don't we have the same dedication to Christianity? Why don't they say that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is King? And, well, obviously we know why, but just parents, be on guard. Make sure if you're going to have your children in public school, then you just need to, like Leon says, you got to keep them in the Word. You got to keep them protected.
Yes.
And you got to tell them to let you know if there's something that isn't right.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And the public school system as well is full of, from their union to their administrators all across the country, out here in Little Laramie, Wyoming, and in every other little small town, they are full of those that have fallen away from God, and that is who is teaching the children today. I saw a quote about a week ago, and it was a kindergarten teacher talking about how she is promoting to her children this alternative death style. That's not the term she used, that's my term, but this alternative death style of Mary has two mommies. And the quote in the story, or the way the story goes, is she was reading a story to her children, and it talked about Billy having two daddies, and Billy's daddy marrying another man. And she said one of the students in the class said, no, that's not right. He has to marry a woman. He can't marry a man. And you think, see, there's the law of God, right? There's the law of God on this child's heart, this kindergartner's, that
yes.
that understands that. Well, the enemy doesn't stop. And so this filthy, ungodly, demonic daughter of a dog tells the little boy, oh, no, it's okay. I'm even married a woman. And she says, it's okay today. We can do this. And that is the type of indoctrination that goes on in kindergarten, and all the way up. And so the NEA, the National Education Association, is full of antichrists. It's not going to be an overnight fix. It's not.
That was in Laramie?
No, that was
in Wyoming somewhere.
No, that was actually in California. That story and that quote.
I was going to say, if that's in Wyoming,
yeah.
Really,
but
cool. Wow.
But let me tell you, the schools are that way.
Yeah.
Oh, they have, you know, the university's here, and it's down through into the junior high. They had 200 people come out to a meeting when they were dealing with this transgender bathroom business and all that stuff here. And they'll get a few people to march and raise a flag, and it is programming. It is indoctrination into evil. It absolutely is. In Jeremiah 8, verse 8, God says, "How can you say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie." And that is what the scribes do, is they take what is good and holy and right and perfect, and they start twisting it, and they start twisting it into a lie. And to where today, the Word of God, because of the lying pen of the scribes, is presented to in the modern day churches as a lie. Oh, we have to love everyone. Oh, Jesus loves those people when they do these filthy abominations. No, I'm sorry. He loves his people enough to tell them to change, to tell them what's right and what's wrong. Anyway,
yes.
You're right about the public school, the public school system. And people will say, "Oh, well, that's yeah. I know it's that way all over, but here at my school, it's different. I come into the school an hour a day on Monday, and oh, if you knew the teachers, and they just and now, granted, there are some great teachers out there. There are some teachers that love their children. There are some Christian teachers that will that do the best they can in that system. No doubt about it. There are. And my hat's off to them, and we do need to keep, you know, that part of the remnant, I think, in our prayers. But there are some.
Yeah. Well, the reality is they haven't gotten to some of the small towns, you know.
Yeah.
There's still some areas where demonic forces haven't, infiltrated. They haven't brought in their leadership to corrupt these schools, and sadly, it's getting much worse. For a long time, my hometown back in Illinois was exempt from these type of things as well. But I know some teachers that are wives of friends of mine, and they about had it. They can't hardly take it anymore because they're not allowed to say anything religious. They can't say, "Well, you have a blessed day," or you know, or even if they sneeze, they're not allowed to say "God bless you." And they're just like, it's sad because right. It used to only be in the cities and things like that, but it's they're infiltrating, you know.
They are,
and there are still some schools. I know that there's schools in the rural towns that are still run by God-fearing Christians, and there's still teachers who are teaching the word because they haven't got to them with the lie of separation of church and state, which basically was so that the government wouldn't form one religion and force the people to obey those laws. Has nothing to do with separation of government and Christianity. But
all it takes for evil to succeed is for good people to do nothing.
That's absolutely
true. And too many times that's what we have going on. Now here in the local where my children go to school, we start seeing a lot of our witchcraft stuff, of course, around the Halloween. So she just went in, my wife went in and started complaining about, you know, why do we not see the separation of church and state when it comes to this evil cult of witchcraft? And they went out and they took down the witchcraft. And I was just recently talking to the elementary principal, and he called all of the assembly together of all the teachers, and he said, "This year is going to be different. We need to center more on harvest festivities instead of the ungodly practice of Halloween." So that was very encouraging.
Praise the Lord.
That isn't. Yep. like Dad said, it only takes one, you know.
Yes.
He was listening to that radio.
Yeah.
That example he gave us, and the guy was just spewing filth and over the radio waves, and he found the name of the station, and he called, and he talked to the program director, and apparently the program director had no idea that that was going out, and one phone call, boom, stopped. That's it.
Yeah.
But how many times do we just sit there and go ahead?
But this principal told me, he said, I can't act on my own, but all it takes is one person to complain, and then I can act according to how I and they agree. So we just don't know how many principals are out there just waiting for that one person to complain.
Amen.
So they can step up to the plate and say, no, somebody complained about this. We need to take down this witch.
Amen.
Stuff.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it keeps going back
to what both ways, too, though. When they complain about anything Christianity, then the same rules apply. And unfortunately, that institute in Wisconsin, the Freedom from Religion Foundation, basically, I wish the Lord would grant them what they want, freedom from religion in hell, but unfortunately,
Amen.
That's
yes.
we're not there yet, but we will be. As soon as our obedience is complete, God's word is clear. He will punish the disobedience of those that hate him and hate his people. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Brother Nick, you had a comment?
Yeah, well, it just keeps going back in my mind what Leon started off with. Really, no matter where your children are, God still gives us opportunities, gives us and the responsibility, of course, to keep teaching the way we're supposed to at home. And something popped into mind. The family was some time back here doing the Bible reading course as part of the homeschool curriculum, and they were reading about Ham when he did what he did, and you know, it's described in scripture as uncovering his father's nakedness. So of course the younger ones, I guess they hadn't heard that whole story, and they had questions like, this isn't adding up, it doesn't make sense.
Yes.
So when I got back home from work, we had a real nice supper time discussion, and one little thing I've learned over time is, you know, don't just throw the answer out to them right away, you know, because you got their interest in, and that's such a key to teaching is,
yes.
If you get them motivated, you have them interested, and they're asking you questions, then you can play that out a little bit, you know. So, you know, so I throw a few questions out and a couple teasers, you know, and boy, they're still, then they're really engaged, and they're trying to think and figure this out. And well, you take them to a few other scriptures and show them what this Hebrew idiom means, uncover your father's nakedness, and, you know, then it's all starting to come together. And it was, that was a real good learning experience right there, and it helped keep me brushed up on that particular line of thought and what the law of God says about it and why Canaan was cursed and not Ham. And it just, that was a real good little teaching session, and all it was sitting around the table talking. Of course, you know, we got the Bibles out after supper and went through it, you know, and it was that there was so much ground gained right there just in that little bit of time. Then you get in a few hours a lot of times, you know.
Amen.
So it still gets back to, yeah, the men have to be ready in season and out. And you make sure your children's ears and your wife's ears hear these things and are taught properly.
Amen. Amen. Because it,
yes.
it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. It doesn't matter what the school board says. It doesn't matter what the city or the county commissioners, what they say. It doesn't matter what, you know, the children's friends say. It doesn't matter what we think or what they think. But it matters what the Word of God says. And that foundation, you know, that is being laid there, Nick, and being finished and being trimmed and edged and curing, that foundation will stand. It will.
Yeah.
When we base our beliefs and what we do, just like that, what we teach our children, what we make sure that we take the time to explain and to get them to think. I like how you put that. You know, you throw a couple teeters out and well, you know, what does it mean? What you know, and when you get them thinking about it to where they're trying to find the answer, it is.
Yeah.
I sincerely believe that it's laying that foundation. It's finishing off that foundation. It's smoothing it off, and so that they can be built on that solid rock. And that is one of the things that is so missing from so many of the families today. But praise God,
yes,
it is where it is. Praise God that He has His remnant. He has His remnant that will be different. God has His remnant that will read their Bible to their children, that will talk about those things, and praise God.
Sometimes
for
you get the opportunity too to introduce just pieces of the Book of Jasher as well, which gives you a little bit better understanding of those times.
Yeah,
and most people, like you say, Nick, most people don't even know what that meant, that he uncovered his father's nakedness. And
no,
there is
most curious
exactly
Christians
is,
don't know it.
I know it came up in our Bible study one time, and they couldn't believe it. And then where is it in Leviticus or something where it actually describes what uncovering father's nakedness was? But and the Book of Jasher, and the Book of Enoch, these people never even heard of these books.
Yes.
Yep. And we
there's a lot of detail in those books.
There is. And folks, if you're not familiar with those books, we don't hold them as the Word of God, but they are great historical writings from the same time period that offer a huge amount of insight into the Bible stories. They go into greater detail, and so if we carry them, the book of Jasher, the Book of Jubilees, the Book of Enoch, and if you're not familiar with them as a Bible scholar, it they're good books to have. They are, of course, as any book. When we read a book that's outside of the Bible, we compare it to that basis, to that foundation, to that we know the Bible is true. And so if we read something
Absolutely.
Else that tends to contradict, well, we know the Bible is true. and so we stand on that. But these other books do. They give great insight. And so we have them. You can order them at the website, scriptures4america.org, and they make for some interesting reading. Josephus is another one in those writings that, again, they're writings from the time period, from that time period of Christ and just before and just after. And it does good. It does you good to read. You kind of get a feel for the time and the attitudes of the people and what was looked upon as right and wrong and good and bad and why. And you kind of just see another perspective of these Bible stories. And again, it when you compare it to the Bible, of course the Bible is true, and just as the Word says, let all men be liars, but God is true. God cannot lie. And that's how His Word is.
Well, there's mention of those books in there too, at least Jasher and Enoch.
Yes.
Yes.
So
well, and even Josephus, I bring that up once in a while in conversation, and I like to do it because he was just a paid Roman historian, and it was not a Christian, and he basically said this Jesus that was born and was crucified, raised on the third day, ascended into the heavens, he said it was true.
Yeah.
If he took into account the eyewitnesses, and he just flat out said, well, it's just true. It happened.
Yes, he believed. And so there's secular writings that confirm the Bible story. And there's also, I think, in Josephus, I'm reading through it again. I haven't got to it, but I've heard the pastor reference it, and I've seen the references before. It mentions the physical description of Jesus, you know, as this dark, swarthy-looking, hunched-over, Muslim-looking man. Not really.
Nah, quit that.
No, that's I'm just seeing if you're still awake, you know. But it does. It gives a physical description of him. Of Jesus Christ, and
I can also think about another book that you carry. Can't remember the name, but it has the letter of Pontius Pilate in it. You know what book I'm talking about?
I think
it also has some historical. Go ahead, brother.
I was thinking that was that book, but yeah, now. But because we don't carry the writings of Josephus. We you know, it's available at Amazon and online and in many bookstores, but it's not something we've been able to carry.
Okay, well, there is a book that the ministry does carry. It was written by a man actually in Missouri. I think around Boonville, Missouri. He put together the letters, and you'll have in there the letter of Pontius Pilate, letters from Herod, all historical written documents that was somehow taken from the library of the Catholic Church back in, I want to say, the early 1900s, and was translated into English from Latin. But there is a book that is carried on the ministry because a brother on the ministry actually sent it to me. It's like,
yeah, if you have that, let us know.
Yeah, boy, Leon, you put me on.
I remember reading something about that at one point too.
You put me on
Arcadio.
Yeah, you got me on.
Yes, I put you on the spot, brother.
You put me on the spot, and I can't quote what it is. You know, our pastor would do that. He would, you know, I'd have the catalog, I'd have books and CDs and everything ready, and he would call or text, you know, buzz over on the intercom and say, I need this. And I'd have 9,000 things here, and he would need the 9,000 in one. You know, it was the one thing that I couldn't go put my hand on. And so
it actually has interviews also with Joseph and Mary in there, historical documents where they actually interview Joseph and Mary and the shepherds. It's something with volume.
Huh. Is it the
first name begins with an A?
The Archco volume. Maybe that's it.
Yes, it is. That's it.
That's it. I'm not that familiar with that book, but we do carry it, the Archco volume. And I don't know if I have one back here in the broadcast room, but that is a compilation of historical writings. You're right. Go ahead.
The first third of the book is just simply explaining how he got the writings, the actual letters of him corresponding back and forth, and the paid receipts, and showing, hey, this is how I got this. I want you to know for sure that this is how I have it, and these are important documents. But that letter of Pontius Pilate, or even the letter of Cleopas, the high priest, you know, they're moving.
Yes.
Even at the end of the letter of Pontius Pilate, he says, and I agree with Maximus that surely this is the Son of God.
Wow. Yeah. You know, getting back to our children and some of these public schools that haven't been infiltrated yet, and even those that have, I think sometimes we miss one of the very important weapons of defense and offense that the Lord gave us in Hebrews 1:14. I know I missed it for many years until just recently, but Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Well, that's us, folks. That's the Christian followers of Jesus Christ. God has given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels, and we just don't realize that we have that power. What an awesome power that is. So we can say, in the name of Jesus, send guardian angels with my children, you know?
Yes.
And when we're trying to reach members of our family, I've actually been doing this lately, and I see a difference in my older brother, who was dead set against Christianity. I said, Lord, send your ministering angels to him. Let him know, Father. Let him be one of the, at least the called, Lord, and then if possible the chosen, but reveal to him that he's believed a lie. Reveal to him that he's been, his mind has been infiltrated by the evil one in his youth, as he used to play Dungeons and Dragons like it was a religion almost. And and I've seen at least the crust, you know. I used to say, well, I'll pray for you, and he'd tell me not to pray for him, you know, and that's pretty dangerous place to be. And he hasn't said that to me lately. And, you know, I tell him I'll pray for him, and I send him some of the stuff that the messages and things like that. And usually I'd get something derogatory. So God gives us all of these tools, all of these weapons, not only for offense, but also for defense.
Amen.
And we can send warring angels and guardian angels and ministering angels and comforting angels. And I mean, you know, any kind of angel you could think of. God said we have the power to use these angels for us in this spiritual warfare. Why don't we use them?
Amen.
Because we don't know that we have that power.
Yeah, Matthew 7 tells us.
We just believe it and don't faith it.
That's it. We believe it and don't think it, or believe it and don't do it.
Don't faith it, yeah.
That's right. That's right. Matthew 7 tells us, ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. And seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. you have to be, we do have to be, John, is just as you are saying there, doers of the word. Doers of the word. Well, you have to read the word to know what it says to be a doer of it. You can't be a doer of quantum physics if you've never read about quantum physics. You can't be a doer of and become a black belt karate or something like that without practicing those things. And it's just like the word. John, you're able to do those things because you've been practicing. You've been in the word. You've been in prayer. You've changed your life. And I just use that as an example that it's a good example. When we do that, it is not... When we become Christians, when we change our life, when we change our outlook, when we change our belief system, when we change what we do, it's not just to benefit us. It's so that then we see, when we see others of the remnant, when we see others out there that need that joy, that need that comfort, that need that blessed assurance, that need that salvation, well... Somebody prayed for us one day, and that's what we do. We pray for others. We commission those angels. We are doers of the word, and we commission those angels to go and to minister, or to go and to protect. And we do that. I think it's in Corinthians talks about, may God be blessed, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions, so that we may comfort others. And I think that I don't know how to word it, but that applies to many things other than just comfort. Praise God who blesses us so that we can bless others. Praise God who delivers us so we can lead others into deliverance. And the world would look at that and say, well, if God comforted you, just let God comfort those other people. What does he need you for to comfort them? Well, I don't know, but his word says to do that. His word says, blessed be God who comforts us so that we can comfort others. And it applies in so many ways. You know, he blesses us so we can bless others. He protects us so we can tell others of his protection. He makes our joy complete so we can tell others about that and lead them to that.
Speaking of telling others, I figure we got about 15 minutes left, so we want to let you know that tomorrow night is the day that we remember the observance of Passover. There will be a live service with a live message. The title of the message is Passover, the Ultimate Forgiveness, and there will be communion, and it's 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Mountain Time. I also want to let you know that tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, all the way till noon, there'll be a series of messages. We pulled Coming Out of the Desert out of the archives from 2015, and then we also pulled the Passover message from 2016, and then there'll be the Pastor Peter's Timeless Truth. So if you don't understand what the Passover is, the first thing you need to do is read Exodus chapter 12. That gives a pretty good overview of what Passover is. But if you have the opportunity, try to listen to those messages from 2 years ago and a year ago, and Lord willing, this new message will tie into that as well. But the Passover was such a critical day that the Lord said that we were to keep it for all generations and teach it to our children. And, you know, even the remnant, we missed that for many years until I believe it was one of the Acres of Diamond Men that revealed that to Dad about the 91st days and about the importance of keeping the Passover. The other thing is, if you're not able to, for some reason, even in the Bible, there was those that couldn't. They were unclean or they were out of town or whatever it was. The Lord gives us a second chance, and that's found in Numbers chapter 9. 1 through 14. So if for some reason you cannot join us tomorrow night, the Lord in his infinite wisdom and grace gave us a makeup day, and that's in 30 days. So exciting times. I hear Brother Nick there's got a house full, 27 last I heard, and coming from other states even. Unfortunately, there's some that have been there in the past that aren't there this year and gone their separate way, but I guess that's part of what happens. There's always going to be disagreements and division in order to prove what is the truth that's being preached. I mean, that's what the Word of God says.
Yes.
Amen. It is.
So I don't know if you want to add anything to that, gentlemen.
I think you covered it. You can join us at scriptures4america.org. Like John said, we're going to gather about 5:30 and have a meal and have some fellowship, and kind of like you guys are doing, Nick, and have some fellowship and have a nice meal and talk about the Passover and remember it and praise our Lord. And then, as John said, it's 7 o'clock Mountain. That's 8 o'clock Central. And 9 o'clock on the East Coast, Sunday evening, we'll have the Passover service, a Passover remembrance. We'll partake of communion. And tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, for the church services, we're playing some communion messages. And as John says, if you don't have a good understanding of it, if you have some questions, we encourage you to tune in the morning as well. And more than likely, you'll get your questions answered. If you need to call the office, our office number, 307-742-7582. Now, that's not the call-in number, but the office number. If you have a question or a concern, we encourage you to do that. Give us a call, and we'll do our best to answer it. We've sent dozens of the Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy book out over the last month. We've been talking about that, and it's a reference book that the pastor wrote years ago in doing just that, in showing what the type of calendar that the early church fathers kept, and the importance of the Passover, that it's a type of covenant. It's a time to enter into a covenant with God. It is. It's right here at the beginning of the solar year, and it is to be an everlasting remembrance. And so that day falls on tomorrow, and so we will do that very thing. John had a...
John, I got something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to...
Go ahead, John.
Okay. In Exodus 12:27, it says that you shall say it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped.
Yes.
So part of that assembly tomorrow evening will be bowing our heads and worshiping, among many other critically important things, especially communion as a body.
Yes. And that brings to mind an issue that comes up about every year. And that's if, you know, I know we practice closed communion, and but when it comes to the Passover communion, do we allow children to partake of it, since they all ate of the Passover meal originally? You know, that's something I've gone back and forth with over the years, and I've heard debates on it, and we've discussed it, and it's kind of hard to divide that one.
Is there a minimum age, though? There's got to be a minimum age, I would think. I pondered that as well, but I don't think I'm ready to bring it to the body yet. I think I'm going to pray about it, and I believe, you know, we have this makeup day in 30 days, so maybe we should just table that for now, and if this is the conclusion that we come to, we could sure implement that on the makeup day. But I see the arguments for it, and it may be a hidden truth that's been stolen from us like many other things, but I think we need to do a little more research on that before we put it out to the remnant.
I was only talking about the Passover, yeah.
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 Right.
So. But you, as the patriarch of your home, you know, you have the obligation and the right to teach your family what you know, you believe is to be true. And, you know, like I said, I've seen the evidence on it. I've seen the scriptures, and there's some strong evidence towards it, you know. And the thing that's kind of disheartening sometimes is if these things were brought to Pastor Peters, most people wouldn't balk at it, you know. But some of the things that have been revealed to us regarding deliverance and things that are in the Bible, things that have been stolen from us, people balk at it because it's not Pastor Peters who's revealing these things to us. Well, I got news for you. We're supposed to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, we're standing in the gap, but we're also, if we just stay on the same teachings that we've had, we will die as a body, the
Amen.
Church, the ministry. It cannot remain based on past truths. It also says in the last days that knowledge would increase. So we have to be willing to search. You know, the Bible is the living word. It's the only book that will continue to deliver as long as we continue to search. And these things that have been stolen from us, God said, you know, even Daniel, he told Daniel to seal up these things until the proper time. Well, we're in the proper time, and knowledge needs to increase. And Satan is roaring like a roaring lion more than ever before. You can see the demonic forces of hell. They know that their time is limited. They know their Bible better than we do, just as our pastor taught us. And we have to use every single spiritual warfare weapon that's in this book to win this battle.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And, you know, he taught about many of these things that some are calling new. You know, over the years, he touched on just about every single issue.
Yes.
I mean, it's brought to mind many times, and you guys were all probably like I was years ago. You know, I listened to every show I could and the tapes that were out, and I just absorbed everything I could in those days. And much of this, he did, maybe didn't do a whole sermon on it, but it would be part of a sermon and a truth that he was throwing out there. And so it's really nothing that's all so new to us.
Doesn't it really just stand out to you now?
You're right, Nick. It shouldn't
be. When I'm just last week's message, there was things in that message that Pastor Peter said that some of our people have problem with us bringing it to the remnant.
Yeah.
And I just scratch my head and I look and I go, are you kidding me? This is exactly what I'm trying to show the people. And this is exactly what Pastor Peter's knew. Of course, probably definitely smarter than I was, because he knew that the people weren't ready for some of these things. And so he was, you know, giving them the salt. And one of the mistakes I may have made was so excited about finding some of these truths sometimes that you just blurt it all out, you know. And I guess that's discernment, and that's being seasoned as a preacher. I never was seasoned as a preacher, never wanted this job, but basically I do it out of obedience to a man who well deserved that position. And I will continue to stand in the gap as long as the Lord wants me to. And if he don't want me to, then he don't need me. That's the bottom line, and I know that.
Yep. Well, and I say it is time, because we've our prayer's been, and I know much of the remnant's prayer's been, that the Holy Spirit leads this ministry. And so we stand on that that's what's been going on. So this is the leading of the Holy Spirit, and let it flow. But
do you notice the difference since Passover 2 years ago, coming out of the desert, when we said, here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? I noticed such a difference in myself. I noticed such a difference in many of my brethren in the call that the Lord has put upon them, because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few, and he wants those of us who are willing to search the Word and to find these truths that give us, that unlock the answers to these, to our demonic spiritual warfare. I mean, the saddest thing is that there's so many Christians don't even understand what spiritual warfare is. They've never even read Ephesians 6. They never read 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. And it's like opening their eyes when you show them that, no, you don't understand. See, this is a spiritual warfare, and you have to fight it in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Amen. It's what our Bible tells us. And he's calling his people to his word. And his word goes out.
Praise the Lord.
His word goes out.
Well, you're awful quiet
like
there,
many other
Leon.
Battles. Go ahead, Leon.
Well, you guys are doing so well. I'm just kind of sitting back and enjoying and listening. But you know, as getting back to the schools, touching on schools, the more persecution they bring up against the Israelites, the more closer they draw to a God. I think of when Jesus was having his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and the scribes and the Pharisees didn't like the children calling out saying, Hosanna, the son of David. And the scribes and Pharisees, they told Jesus, said, hey, quiet those people down. Quiet those children down. He said, if I quiet them down, even the stones would call out.
Yes.
So here, they do that. They try to quiet down the schools. They try to quiet down the children. But as they do, the stones continue to cry out. I heard a good little testimony the other day of a kindergartner who was sharing Jesus to his class, his whole class. And actually, the teacher was called on this issue, and she said, hey, it is I have not discouraged him, but I have not encouraged him. He does it on his own. And they actually had to call in the child's parents before everybody also, before the principal. And the principal said, hey, he has a right to his freedom of speech, and if he wants to lead his whole kindergarten class or the whole school to Jesus, he can do it.
Amen.
So as much as they persecute, then the diamonds start showing even more so.
Amen.
And more people step Amen. Out and move forward yes. for the advancement of Jesus Christ.
Yes. All of creation Hallelujah. Groans for the revealing of the sons of God. And boy, there's one right there. There's one right there. Well, guys, we're out of time. How about that? That hour went awful quick. I want to thank you guys for joining us. And I know you guys are going to have a blessed fellowship this weekend. And so we speak the peace of Jesus Christ on your house and on your gathering there. And we're looking forward to Passover tomorrow. So again,
let's pray.
Folks,
let's pray real quick.
Yes, go ahead, John.
Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly but boldly, claiming the promises that you've given us as the sons of God. Father, we lift up this Passover service tomorrow night. Lord, we dedicate it to the obedience of you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for a special anointing to be upon me, that you give me the words that your people need to hear. And Father, I call upon the angels, just as you said, Lord, in Hebrews 1:14. Father, ministering angels to go out and to prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls to receive these truths. Father, to remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears. And Father, we pray for those that are traveling, Lord, those that are coming together as small groups all across this country, Lord. We just pray for your protection to be upon them. Put angels above them, below them, to left, to right, front, and behind them. Grant them traveling mercies and Godspeed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, thanks, man.
Thank you, man.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out.
Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.